Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we're focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Everybody, welcome back to the Drive On podcast. Today, my guest is Michelle Lang. Michelle has created Veteran Help Point, which is a nonprofit organization that curates vetted local resources for veterans and their families. And we're going to discuss this incredible resource that's available right now and the importance of finding these important vetted resources that are out there to help veterans in the veteran community. So welcome to the show, Michelle. I'm glad to have you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself for the listeners who maybe aren't familiar with you and your background?
Sure. So my name is Michelle Lang. I've been a military spouse, I guess now for 7 years, if I'm doing the math right. So I first met my husband. He lives in the same town that I went to college. And 8 months later, decided to quit my job, quit my career, and move up to Fort Drum with him. So that's kind of where my mixed bag of feelings started with the military, because I couldn't get a job. I was like this educated person. I just left this really amazing job that I had. And the only job I could get was working at Zales. So it was devastating. And I kind of really pushed myself away from the military community. I didn't get involved in anything. I didn't have any friends in the military community. I only associated with civilians. And it was really, really lonely. But then we relocated down to Fort Benning. Things changed really quickly for us. My husband had to leave the military quickly. He basically had a choice. It's like, if you continue your career, it might not work out the way that you want it to, and you just spent 3 years in the desert without seeing your family for nothing. Or you can leave the military, go reserve, have time with your family. So that's what he did. He had very little time to transition out. And we thought we had a handle on everything. He went to the TAPS program, all that good stuff. He had plan A, plan B, plan C. Got a job, moved back to Pennsylvania where we're from, and things really, really just started falling apart for us. So he kind of found himself grieving his servant, like shedding who he was and figuring out who he is now. And I didn't quite understand that. I understood that it would be a big change, but it really, really took a toll on his mental health, and our marriage crumbled totally. We lived as separate people. We didn't speak to each other. When we did, it was a fight. It was really, really bad. So I started working on my mental health to try and get through this, because I'm very, very stubborn and I want to save my marriage. And during all this, he was in the reserves. So he actually took company command during that to try and step back into that role as a soldier. He even signed up for a deployment without telling me. He literally told me as we were going down the road one day, oh, hey, whenever I deploy, I'm like, what are you talking about? So anyway, we started going to counseling and it got much better. But that was all after he was denied care at the VA and couldn't find help that he needed. And it was just, it was heartbreaking to see. And it was frustrating for me because I'm trying to find these resources and I couldn't figure out where to go. We lived in a fairly large city and I still couldn't find resources for him. So it wasn't until he plugged back into the veteran community where he was able to get the help that he needed. And I thought, well, that's awesome. But why weren't we able to find that ourselves? Like, we just went down this huge, like, our marriage almost disintegrated. Like,
sure.
Why couldn't we? Why do we need to get to this point before we could find the help that we needed? And then once we found the help we needed, we found that there's all these other resources out there. They're just really hard to search for because the VA dominates the search engines or these larger organizations do. So he deployed. I had a lot of time to think about this stuff and I did some more research. And so I decided I don't want somebody else to go through this because it's such a simple solution in theory to put all these resources together to be able to help people, give them a peace of mind. I got to do it because the more I talk to people, the more I realized they had the same story that we did, yeah. But people don't want to talk about that.
Right. And that's a difficult thing is when nobody talks about it, you start to think, well, everyone else must have everything under control because they're not complaining about this. So I must be the problem. I must be the one who's screwing up somewhere along the line, but that's not true at all. You had a very similar experience to what a lot of people have when they can't figure out what resources or what benefits are available. Even if you go through all the different programs that they offer to you as you're getting out, sometimes it's like drinking from a fire hose where they're just sending so much stuff to you at the same time. It's like, okay, yeah, that's great that that exists, but I don't see how that applies to me right now. So I'm going to just kind of forget about it and not really think about it. And then a few months later, they're like, oh crap, what was that thing? And now I don't remember what it was. And now where do I find it? And
exactly.
And they hand you all these pamphlets and brochures. Most of them end up in the trash probably because, again, you don't think you're ever going to need it. And then you're scrambling to figure it out when you get to that point. So I feel like a resource like this is long overdue, where resources that are available to the veteran community is easily searchable. There's a database that's available and we can just go and look up what it is that we need in the area that we're in and figure out how to solve the problems that we're having, not end up in a situation where, like you, your marriage was in trouble and fortunately you were as stubborn as you were and you didn't allow that to totally collapse. But you know, not everyone has that same mindset and is willing to put in that kind of effort 100% of the time. And so it's hard to have all of that going on and also trying to figure out your marriage and your family life and everything else that goes with just being an adult, right?
Right. Yeah.
So
it's very much like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Like, so if you have shelter in place, but you still need all these other things to be able to function as a human being. And whenever you're trying to scramble, like whenever you're in survival mode, that's really what it is. Like you're in survival mode because you're trying to survive your marriage. You're trying to survive the next day. And a lot of people don't want to talk about it too, because they feel like, oh, I don't have a reason to feel this way. I didn't see combat, or what I did see wasn't that bad, but there's still a lot of other things that can affect like shedding your identity and starting something new. So
yeah,
there's no shame in struggling or needing something, or even if you're not struggling and you just want a better job, there's ways to go about it. And you don't realize what you need until you need it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, I think, the biggest problem with a lot of these transition classes and everything else that the military offers is you don't see how some of this stuff applies to you until you need it. And mm-hmm. when you're going through that transition, it's like, okay, I'm just going to check this box and say I went to this course because they're telling me I have to. Okay, cool. Check the box, move on. Now, fast forward, you're out of the military and you need these resources and you wish you did more than just check the box and you have those resources available to you. And it has to be pretty demoralizing when you're in your family's position, in your husband's shoes, when you're told that certain organizations are going to be able to help out, whether it's a VA or other organizations, to get the help that he needed, and just to find out that help wasn't available the way he thought it was, right?
Exactly. That was a huge list to his mental health, is the first getting denied by the VA.
Yeah.
Because what he got denied for was mental health services. And he's like, this is the organization that's supposed to help me. This is like, at that point, he had served not 9 years, 8.5 years in the Army. He understood that the Army is never going to love you as much as you love it, but I still put my time in. I still want help. And he was asking for help and they said, no, see ya. Wow. But it's not, It's very frustrating. I think the VA has great services, but it's very dependent on who works there and who's passionate about their job and whatnot. So it just can be really demoralizing whenever something like that happens from an organization that's meant to serve the veterans.
Just to put it into perspective for maybe the civilians who might be listening to this, who maybe don't have the frame of reference with what the VA should be able to do or whatever. But if you're in your home and your home catches fire and you call the fire department and you're standing out on the sidewalk watching your home burn and they say, sorry, we're not going to be able to send anyone to come help put the flames out. And you're looking at your home, all the memories, everything that you own going up in smoke. That's probably very similar to the type of feeling that you would have. It's like, now it's pretty helpless. Like,
exactly.
What am I going to do? How, like, grab a garden hose and start trying to put the fire out? Like, no, they're like, that's not going to work. And maybe you're going to put a little bit of a fire out, but it's not going to put the whole flames out and it's not going to save your house. So when you're in that situation, like your husband was, and he was just reaching out, asking for pretty basic help, I would imagine, as far as the VA is concerned. Mental health services is something that they provide all the time. I mean, I've used their services as well. And I wasn't even in the Army for as long as your husband was, and I still was able to use those services. To me, it just doesn't make sense that he wouldn't be able to use those services. To me, it makes just about as much sense as the fire department saying, sorry, no, we can't make it. For whatever reason, it's like, that just blows my mind that that's something that would have even taken place. However, if it's happened to one person, I gotta imagine it's happened to other people as well, right?
Yeah. And I talk to a lot of people that does happen to, even people that have been in the game a lot longer. I talked to somebody else at an event that shared his story with me about how they didn't know that they could go outside the VA for care. Because now there's community care and things like that, because the VA is a bit overwhelmed. So they've extended their network to community care providers, right? So that's great, but people don't know that. So they think they're stuck with their doctor and the VA. And it doesn't matter if it is the VA or if it's a family doctor somewhere else. You can have a bad experience wherever you go, but you need to understand that you have a right to choose where you want to receive care or change providers if you're not feeling that provider is listening to you, because you deserve to be heard as a patient. But you also want to go somewhere where they have experience working with veterans and the type of care that requires, because not everybody's been through those challenges. And sometimes the provider needs to be in a certain frame of mind and understand things from the veteran's perspective. So that's another thing is we're trying to educate on is you're not stuck within that system. There's all these organizations and resources out there that are good, that can provide the same level of care for you, and you even have more options in some cases than within the system that you feel like you're confined to, especially if you feel like you're not getting heard or the care that you need.
Yeah, and an example of what you're talking about with the community care for the people who are unaware that community care program even exists. A few months ago, I had to get scheduled to do a sleep study through the VA. And they called me up and said it was going to be about 4 or 5 months before they could schedule me for the sleep study through the VA. And they said, instead, we'd like to get you in at a local provider who can do the sleep study much sooner and get you in and get that done. And so I did that. It went to the local provider. It was actually closer to my house than the VA facility that I would have gone to anyway. So it all worked out great for me. Zero out-of-pocket costs for me, and it all was covered through the VA. So it's definitely something that's available. And again, if people don't know that exists, and it's not just for things like sleep studies, it's for all sorts of care that the VA offers. And so if people don't know that exists, they're not going to be as likely to take advantage of those services that are available out there. And so I'm glad that there's people like you out there who are raising awareness for these other resources. You can go outside of the VA, you can go to a private provider. And a lot of times there are nonprofits who are doing these things at low or no cost to the veteran. And like, why wouldn't you take advantage of what's available out there, right?
Right. Yeah, because a lot of times people that start the nonprofits are because they have been in that situation to begin with, and they felt led to start an organization to help other people to prevent that, because it is tough to do. It's tough. Nonprofits have a lifespan of about a year. So, I mean, it's tough to do, and it's tough to market yourself. And that's some of what we want to do at Veteran Health Point too, is we really want to build a community of resources where the resources themselves are in this vision with us and can see how this is useful, and we can drive clients to them, and they can serve the clients that need to be served, and the clients are receiving the help they need to receive. Because a lot of these nonprofits or even for-profit organizations that are started by veterans or military spouses are really passionate about helping and doing the right thing, and their hearts are in the right place, but maybe marketing isn't at the forefront of their mind because it's tough to do, especially in like today's techno. I totally understand why people need like our social media managers full time, because it's so much work to market.
It is. It's so much work, not even just to post the content on social media, keeping that fresh and updated daily or whatever time period that you're talking about, but then you're talking about other things that you're competing with when you have online ads and you maybe trying to spend a little money to get some traffic coming your way to your website or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's competition for that as well. You got to know what you're doing. Otherwise, you're just blowing money. If your website isn't set up the right way, you're going to end up losing traffic just because you aren't getting picked up by the search engines when people are looking for the types of things. And there's so much to it, and there's so many different moving pieces. You're right. You do need somebody who knows that kind of stuff to take care of it, because you're trying to do the thing that you're good at, and that getting these resources together, vetting the resources, making sure that they're appropriate for the veterans who are looking for them. But then you also have to put on the marketing hat, and that's just a lot of stuff. But when you go and hire somebody to do that, costs money, and nonprofits especially, they need funding. It's not like you have a big list of products that you're selling or anything. And so there's donations and things like that that you need help with in order to continue running the operation successfully. And that's why, like you said, nonprofits, they don't have a very long lifespan, because they sometimes fall off on one of those areas. Either they're not providing a great service, or they're not able to market themselves, and they can have the best service in the world, but if no one knows about it, it's not really worth all that much, right?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So you have a line on your website, and I absolutely love it, the way you phrase it. And you said, with regards to the things that a lot of the veterans are going through, it says, "I can promise that you are not doing this alone." And that is so true. It's absolutely true. I've interviewed dozens of people from organizations across the country who are working hard to help veterans. And one of the biggest issues that they all face is just what we were just talking about, is that generating awareness and letting the veterans and their families know that they exist and are ready to help out. And that's why I love what you're doing with Veteran Help Point, because it's one central location that you have all these resources that can help veterans who may not have otherwise known that some of these resources even exist. So I'd love to talk a little bit more about the types of resources that you're looking for and that people can find through Veterans Help Point.
Mm-hmm. So we have 10 categories of help right now. And I get really passionate talking about it, because right now it's 10 categories, and it's for primarily veterans. But eventually I want to have it subsection where it could be for veteran spouses, military spouses, caregivers, and military children, because they all have their own unique challenges and their own resources they need. So what we're trying to do is make it, like in my case, I was the one searching for help. And a lot of the times it is going to be the partner, the spouse, that is reaching out for help. So I want to make it as easy as possible for, even if you don't have the terminology down, even if you don't know exactly what you need, it's still simplified enough that you can find the help that you need for your spouse. So the 10 categories of help right now are primary care, physical therapy, holistic therapy, legal, benefits, financial aid and literacy, job assistance, housing, fitness, and what else am I missing? Oh, I have it up right here. There's always one that escapes me.
It's a big list to mental health. I was going to say, I'm pretty sure you didn't mention mental health, and I was going to say that, but yeah, it's a big list. And there's a lot of different organizations and that fit in all those different categories. So it's great that you're putting that together. But I guess the goal for all of this is to have this one central resource. So like any nonprofit, I'm sure you have these set needs in terms of volunteers to help curate this list and donations, like we talked about before. What sort of things are you specifically looking for at the moment, and where can people go to help support Veteran Help Point?
Yeah, a really easy way to volunteer with us is to just submit resources. And I do have a bit of a template and a way to search for these resources, because once you get in the groove and in the mindset of how to search for the resources, it's really simple to do. And then there's a whole other process of vetting them, but finding them first is key. So I call it maternity leave. I'm going to go on maternity leave in mid-August. I'm pregnant with my third boy. So my goal is to have somebody come on for head of resource development. And what they'll do is kind of be in charge of scouring at least the Southeast region, because that's what we're working on now, for these resources and listing them, organizing them onto our offline database, and then going ahead and vetting them. So it's a time-consuming project, but it can go very quickly once you're in the groove. If you're not in the right mindset, it can take a little bit longer, but
sure,
that's one of the biggest things that we need help with. I have my spreadsheet in front of me because it's just daunting, but organizing is one of the biggest things, because not only do we have to put them on our external spreadsheet, then we have to reach out and vet these companies. And we are going to have different phases of vetting the companies, as far as like what I call like lightly vetting and then a little bit deeper dive, because then we're going to have tiers of resources. So there's a lot of thought that's going into this. I do want to make it like our tagline is, we do the recon so you don't have to. I want to make it so you can come here and that resource that you're going to click on is somebody that can help you, that's going to pick up their phone. You don't have to question that. And you don't have to worry about a predatory company, because there are a lot of predatory veteran companies out there. And that's just something we're not okay with and will not be tolerated.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard to know just on the surface if there's a company that's going to be predatory, whether they're assisting you with benefits or mental health or whatever whatever the company is offering. If you're not familiar with the company, you don't have somebody who has used them in the past or somehow vetted them in the past, you don't really know what you're going to get until you're already in it. And then at some point it might be too late. And now you're stuck in a position where you feel like you're literally stuck and you can't get out of this situation. Yeah. You've invested too much time or money or what other resources into whatever it is that they're offering, and that might not be okay with you. And so I love that you not only are listing the resources, but they're trusted resources. They're vetted to make sure that they're not these predatory companies, that they're not some fly-by-night operation that's just going to be here today, gone tomorrow, and who knows if anyone's going to pick up the phone. Mm-hmm. And I commented before about how demoralizing it can be when an organization that you thought was going to be able to help turns out to not be able to help at all. And if you are vetting these organizations, that these organizations are going to be able to help. But I'd love to know a little bit more about the vetting process that goes into it. Like, what is it that you guys do to make sure that these organizations are legit and that they're not going to be predatory and things like that?
I ideally like to start with just a conversation. So we have a lot to go through. I mean, there's tons. I'm just looking at Florida right now, things that aren't even listed on our website, and there's tons and tons of people. So I start with an email. I start by checking out their website, checking out doing my research as if I were the consumer first.
Okay.
So that's part of our lightly vetting phase. Second phase is we need to reach out to the person. We need to make contact with them, get a little bit more information about what they're doing. I like to know why they started it or why they took over. And then whenever we have different levels, so I haven't quite structured it, I figured out the structure yet, but we'll have premier resources too. So like this resource is one that I know 100% I've built trust, because a lot of it is building trust with that other organization. We've had many conversations. We have their financials check out. They've been in operation for more than 3 years, whatever. Those will be more like our premier resources, where definitely you are going to get the help that you need to get once you go there. Sometimes it's just going to take time. I know starting out as a new nonprofit, it took a while for people to build trust in me. And I got told no a lot. We only started in November. Okay. So it's fair to want to see how an organization does before you list them or you can recommend them as a top tier organization. And then we're also going to have, I have somebody that's redesigning our website. I'm really, really excited about it. So one of the features that he's going to put on there is it's like an Angie's List. So if you use that service, you'll be able to rate and review that service for other people to see too. So they'll be getting, you don't have to be logged in to see what the rate and review is, but you need to log in to rate and review to make sure and confirm that you have used that service. So that's something else I'm excited about, because I shop on Amazon all the time. I go by reviews. Everybody goes by reviews now. It's 2022. So I want to make sure that people have the opportunity to build trust in that nonprofit or that organization based on somebody else's experience.
Exactly. And that social trust, when you have the review and someone puts their experience out there, giving it the 5-star review or whatever applicable stars, and writing down what their experience was like, it helps to build that trust that, yes, not only does Veteran Help Point say this is a vetted resource, it's a trusted resource, but Joe Smith from Omaha says, yeah, this is a vetted resource and I had an incredible experience, right? And then you could say, okay, I trust this just a little bit more, and knowing that you're not going to be let down by this organization and what they are offering. So that's great. I love the vetting of these resources. I love the fact that they're local resources too. A lot of them are in your backyard, in your neighborhood, so whatever. It's nearby, so that way you're not just becoming another name or number or whatever in a huge national database of people, and you can have that local connection with people too. And that, I think, helps out a whole lot more than just being thrown out into the random big organization that may or may not be exactly what you're looking for. Right.
Right. Yeah. And I keep in mind that I'm from a rural area in Pennsylvania we're smack in the middle. We're 3 hours from Pittsburgh and 3.5 hours to Philadelphia, and 3 hours to Baltimore. So like, there's nothing around us. Okay. So the people that have to go to the VA have to travel over an hour to go to that VA. And a lot of times they let their care slip. They don't realize they have to go for their checkup every 18 months to maintain their status. There's just a lot of things that slip through the cracks whenever you're part of rural America. And a lot of our military comes from rural America. And I want to make sure that, because in my backyard at home, even though we are in the country, there's still people that serve veterans. And we come from an area where there are a lot of veterans. So I want to make sure that people know that they can go and utilize these things that they might not know about before. And also their family, because I think I've had probably less than 25% people that reach out to me are veterans. Everyone else is a spouse, family member, or coworker. So that is the biggest thing, is getting this out to civilians and the public to get them to understand, like, there's resources out there that you can give to your family to help.
Yeah, exactly. And just like you said, with your family situation, you were the one who was doing the legwork of looking for the resources that were available to help your husband in his transition and his mental health and everything else that your family was going through, the counseling and all that. And so that fell on you. And a lot of times, I know veterans that I've talked to, myself included, were stubborn and like, no, I can handle this. I can deal with this. I'll be fine. I don't need to go get help. And so we don't necessarily take the time to go and do that legwork. Whereas a spouse or another loved one or a coworker or neighbor, someone like that would be much more inclined because they can see from the outside looking in the deterioration that takes place and seeing just how dire the situation could be. And oftentimes we get in our own way and we don't allow ourselves to go and find that help.
Exactly. That's a huge part of it. Whenever you're in that state, my husband and I still have this conversation. Like whenever he was in that state, we saw two totally different realities. I could say one thing to him and he would take it as me attacking him and I hated him and whatever. And I'm like, I just asked you if you could put your dish in the sink. Like, but what to him, he was on edge. He was seeing a reality where the world was against him and he had no one. It was just him. And I was seeing a reality where like, I want to help you, but you're sort of unlovable right now and it's hard to help. And that's what it is whenever you're in. I've been in that state too, where it's just like, I feel unlovable. I'm depressed. I don't want help. But luckily you have family that can see that and try and get you the help that you need. Because whenever you're in that state, your mind just shuts off to logic. I feel like that's the best way I can think to explain it right now. You might know that you need help, but you're just, I call it your lizard brain. Like your lizard brain is just trying to survive at base minimum. Like you are barely eating, maybe barely drinking water, but you are sleeping and getting up and going to work. That's what you're doing, surviving.
Just, and that's not a path to thrive. That's literally surviving.
Yeah. And it takes a toll on your whole family. That's what we're really trying to do is just give families back that time together and that peace of mind, because that's what I wish I didn't have anybody to relate to. I didn't have anybody that I could talk to about this. Nobody I knew in my life even really lived with somebody with depression like that. So it was really, really, I said, I wish I had a support group for people that had spouses with depression or that were depressed, because I did not know how to navigate my own life with that. And there are so many ways for families to avoid that or to get help or just feel less alone. I felt so alone and so stupid that I was 28 and I was having a failed marriage because we just couldn't make it work at that point. So that's what I really, really want people to know is no matter what you're going through, somebody else has gone through it. You're not alone. You're not stupid for going through it. And it has nothing to do with you. It's just the cards that you're dealt. And sometimes we have to figure out how to play the best hand.
Exactly. And when you're in a situation where one of the people in the relationship, a spouse or whatever, is in that situation where they're depressed and they're having these angry outbursts and things, it affects the rest of the family. It could cause the other people in the relationship to have their own mental health deteriorate, not be where it should be. And that just makes it that much harder for the two of them to be able to help each other out. And so I love it that you have these resources that are now that they're available. They've been available, but now they're available in one central location through Veteran Help Point. And it's really about awareness. So I'm encouraging the listeners to, first off, check out Veteran Help Point, use the resources that you could find there, donate whatever you can in terms of dollars or volunteer hours or whatever it is that you can offer. And Before we wrap this up, I wanted to give you the opportunity to tell people where they can go to find this resource and follow you, either social media, all the stuff that people can use to kind of follow along and see what you guys are up to.
Yeah, so our website is veteranhelppoint.com. And I'm very excited because it's just getting a total transformation facelift here by this amazing godsend of a volunteer that loves to design websites. He's doing it for us. So that should be up shortly. And we're on just about every social media platform. We're really accessible by message on Facebook at Veteran Help Point, Instagram, Veteran Help Point, LinkedIn, Veteran Help Point. We even have a Twitter, Vet Help Point. Like, we're just trying to be everywhere so that way people can, you don't have to remember the resource, but you just have to remember Veteran Help Point. Reach out and we'll get you there.
Excellent. And I will have links to all of this in the show notes. So anyone who is interested in utilizing any of the services or helping out and contributing to Veteran Help Point, please take a look at the show notes, click through on the links, and get connected with Michelle and the rest of the team over there at Veteran Help Point. So Michelle, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today. Really appreciate the time that you've taken to come on and all the work that you're doing to help out the veteran community and the military spouses and everyone else who is involved in this community. It's really truly a great effort that you're putting in and a great resource that you're putting together.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm trying to give a holistic approach so people know that they're just not alone. So if you need help, reach out. I don't know everything, but I know a guy who knows a guy. So I'll get you there.
That's awesome. Well, thank you again. And we're looking forward to seeing the great things that you have to come in the future.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Drive On Podcast.